minister to us today, to break the bread of life, to feed us with the bread of heaven. You have your Bibles this morning. I'm going to read from the Old Testament scripture, from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 11. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 11. Once again, I want to say how wonderful it is to see all of you here today in the house. I want to thank all of our guests for coming and hope that you will make this a practice to come and be with us in the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 36, and beginning with verse number 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messenger, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. We asked our pastor if he would pray this morning over the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to minister today on when judgment replaces mercy. When judgment replaces mercy. The 16th verse is where we want to draw our thought today. The Bible says, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. And those last few words, till there was no remedy, it grabbed my attention that it is a dreadful thing to think that there is no remedy, that there is no solution to a dilemma, that medical science today has made many advances for which we're very thankful, because the healing medicines that they discover are not things that man has created, but they are the result of discovering the things that God had already made. Because all healing and all good things come from the Father of lights, which is above. That if it's good, it is from the Lord. And we thank God for discoveries, that discoveries are made every day that help to make life easier, that help to make life a more successful and to more enjoyable to humanity. And medical science has succeeded in applying the laws of nature and medicine to cure many illnesses and diseases that were once thought to be incurable. There are still challenges in our world today. There are things that are beyond our comprehension. There are dilemmas. There are problems for which man seemingly cannot find a solution. And so this scripture today that is very sobering, for it says that they had kindled the wrath of the Lord against them until there was no remedy. As long as there is a remedy, as long as there is an answer, as long as there is a solution to a problem or a difficulty that men can have hope, that there is something to cling to, there is something to reach for. But in this particular situation, things had developed, things had evolved, things had come to the place to which the Bible says that there was no remedy, that there was no healing medicine to cure them of that had plagued them and had caused them so much pain and so much heartache. Today we recognize that there are medical miracles of healing that have brought new hope to millions of people who were once suffering in fear and in hopelessness. But today that they have found things that can assist them and help them on the road to recovery. But yet in spite of all of the tremendous advances of science and technology, there are still sicknesses. There are still diseases. There are still infirmities for which there is no remedy. That my own father died at a very early age, at the age of 62, because he had an infirmity in his body for which there was no remedy. They tried various things, experimental drugs and different types of nutritional supplements, but all to no avail. That we watched him as he grew ever more frail and ever more helpless, and his mind began to slip away until there came a day that he did not even recognize his own sons or daughters. He did not recognize the face of his wife, that he became lost in a world that was without meaning, that he could no longer communicate to us. There was no remedy. There was no solution to that problem as far as humanly speaking is concerned. And so when I read these words from the Bible, that there was no remedy, it made me very sad to think that there could ever be a situation, that there could ever be a set of circumstances, that there was no remedy, because I am convinced that my God can perform miracles. I am convinced that there is no disease, that there is no sickness, there is no malady, there is no place of helplessness that my God cannot intervene. There is no impossibilities with God. The Bible says with man it is impossible, but with God, oh hallelujah, hear what I'm telling you today, but with God all things are possible to him that believeth. Rebellion against God had been the way of Israel's path for a long, long time. The Bible tells us that pride goeth before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. That one thing that we must guard against as men and women, that we must guard against being lifted up in ourselves, or thinking that we can resolve every issue, or that we can find the solution to every problem, because you are going to face some things in life, if you have not already discovered them, that is beyond your understanding, that is beyond your ability, that is beyond your ability to even reason or even to understand. We do not need to get lifted up in ourselves. No matter what our accomplishments, we've been able to put men on the moon. We've been able to probe the depths of outer space and to look at the surface of many of the planets that God placed in the sky. And all of those things are no small accomplishments. But yet, there are things that man cannot do for himself. There are things that man has not been able to achieve in all of his learning. In fact, the Bible says in the last days that men would ever be learning, but never come into a knowledge of the truth. All of the wisdom and all of the education in the world cannot resolve the greatest issue of life, and that is the redemption of my soul. Israel was in rebellion against God. They despised the Word of God. The Bible says they rejected His statutes. They rejected His commandments. And they mocked at His prophets. They would not hear sound doctrine. The Bible says in the last days that men would have itching ears, and they would want to hear cunningly devised fables. They would want to hear things appealed to the flesh of man, but they would despise the truth. But I want you to know today that no cleverly devised tale, that no beautiful a rendition of man can ever take the place of the power and the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And only the saving grace of God and His mercy can save us from our destruction. But not to reject the Word of God, that we must embrace it. The Bible says, because that men did not have a love of the truth, that God sent them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned, that this generation needs to come to realize that the only saving grace, that the only way into the kingdom of God is by the blood of that Lamb, that spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and that through Him that we can be saved. Can you praise the Lord today? Looking around us, we see the hopelessness and the helplessness of humanity. But yet there is a God in heaven that is the same today as He was yesterday, and He'll be the same tomorrow. There's only one who can save. There's only one that can heal. There's only one that can set men free. And His name is Jesus Christ. It is better for us that we should never make a vow to God than to make a vow and break it. The Bible says of King Zedekiah that not only was he in rebellion against God, the Bible says he did that which was in the sight of the Lord, and he humbled not himself. He would not acknowledge his need of God. He would not acknowledge the wickedness of his deeds. He despised Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was not speaking to him to bring condemnation upon him. I want you to know, whenever the man of God preaches, And the Word of God goes forth. It is not to put you down. It's not to make you feel uncomfortable. But the Word of God is meant to heal and to save and to set you free. Never despise the man of God or the preaching of the Word of God. Because it is life to those that embrace it. It is health and strength to those that love it. Oh, the Bible says He sent His Word and He healed them. There's healing in the Word of God. Oh, can you say praise the Lord today? The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God will quicken you. There's going to come a day, though you be dead, though you be sick, or you be diseased, and when you hear the voice of the Son of Man, it's going to quicken you. This old corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. Amen. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be like Jesus. No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. Because there's power in the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He despised the Word of God. The Word of God that could have saved him. The Word of God that could have set him free. The Word of God that could have pardoned his sin. He despised the prophet of God and the Word of the Lord. But not only did he despise the things of God. You know, there's something about those that are proud and that those that are presumptuous. That those that have no respect for dignities, not only do they disrespect God, not only do they have no respect for God's Word, but they usually have no respect for any authority. The Bible says that he even rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, to whom he had sworn upon oath. He had sworn to God that he would not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. You better be careful when you vow a vow unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and then to break it. That you had better be a man or a woman of your word. If you make a commitment, if you make a promise, then you ought to try everything within you to keep that promise. Because vows are very special to God. God holds us accountable for every idle word that we speak. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. He had made a vow unto God. But he broke his vow and he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He excused himself. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar was not a person of faith. Nebuchadnezzar was not a fellow Jew. He was not a believer in the one true God. It doesn't matter whether you make a promise to someone that's a believer or you make a promise to someone that's out there in the world. God doesn't excuse us. Amen. Just because they're not believers. That he was accountable. But the Bible says he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart and he refused to acknowledge the Lord. And because he did evil in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says that even the priests and the people sinned against God excessively. After the abominations of the heathen, and God in His mercy sent messengers unto them. Oh, I thank God that we serve a merciful God. Amen. That God is not looking for an opportunity to put us out or to put us off or to destroy us. That God is a God of mercy, is a God of grace. That we see that His mercies are new every morning. That you will never exhaust the grace and the love of God, because His grace is beyond exhausting. That we will never exhaust the love and the mercy and the grace of God. They could not exhaust God's tenderness and His love for them. But so in spite of their rebellion, in spite of their sin, the Bible said God sent them messengers. Why did God send them messengers? Because the Bible said that God had compassion upon them. Can you imagine that you had compassion upon those that did wicked, that did evil, that rebelled, that stiffened their neck, that hardened their heart? But the Bible says that the Lord God sent them messengers. They rose up early and they stayed late. Verse 15 tells us why God did that. You know why God doesn't destroy the wicked? You know why God doesn't bring swift judgment upon those who rebel against Him? Because He's a God of love and compassion. That God doesn't want to destroy man that He made. The Bible says because He had compassion on His people. Oh, thank God that God is a compassionate God. That when I sin, that God doesn't kick me out of the brotherhood. He doesn't expel me from the fellowship of the believers. You hear what I'm telling you today? That He's a loving God. He's a compassionate. And so instead of bringing judgment upon Israel, He sent them preachers. He sent prophets of God to speak to them that He might turn them from their wicked ways. Why was God long-suffering toward Israel? Because He had compassion. Oh, thank God for the love and the mercy and the compassion of Jesus Christ. And because He had compassion on His dwelling place. That He had compassion upon the place that He had chosen and to honor His name. And the Bible says that when He sent the messengers, that they mocked them. They misused His prophets. They abused the men of God. And so the wrath of God was kindled against them until there was no remedy. Why was there no remedy? Why was there no answer? Why was there no solution? It wasn't because they had exhausted God's love. God's love is deeper than the ocean. It's higher than the mountain. That there's no way that we can measure the love of God. It passeth all understanding. But they could not find a remedy because they would not acknowledge their sin and turn from their wicked way. The musicians would come. I want you to know today, when judgment replaces mercy, there is no remedy. When God's wrath is kindled against us because that we refuse His love, we refuse His grace, we refuse His mercy, there is no remedy. Because outside of God, there is no solution. There is no solution to our dilemma. There is no freedom from our bondage. There is no hope for our hopelessness outside of the cross of Calvary. If you won't acknowledge Jesus Christ, then you choose for yourself a terrible fate. You choose a sickness for which there is no remedy. You choose a death from which there is no deliverance. You choose a fate that was never intended by God because God loves you. You hear me today? Because God loves you. You'll never exhaust His love. You'll never overextend God's mercy. But you can refuse Him. You can stiffen your neck. And you can harden your heart. You can refuse to respond to the voice of God. But God loves you still. Because He's a God of love. Oh, thank God for the long-suffering of God. I'm glad that God still loves me. Even when I'm unlovable. I'm glad that God still has compassion upon me. Even when I bring trouble upon my own soul. But God's still compassionate. The Bible says He was compassionate. Though they brought their problems upon themselves by their own wickedness, by their own foolish choices, He still reached out. He still pleaded with them. He still summoned them to a place of repentance. I wonder today if there's someone today that feels the love and compassion of God. If you feel that mercy, if you understand that He cares about you, won't you make your way down to these altars today? Would you stand and discover His love? Because one day, judgment is going to replace mercy. One day, the Savior is going to be the judge and the avenger. One day, that same God that loves you today is going to laugh at your calamity because you refuse to acknowledge His love. You refuse to acknowledge His grace. God cares about you today. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn the service to our pastor and the Lord. God bless you today. Walk in the Lord. Walk in His fear. God bless you.